All right, 3, 2, 1, recording. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 51 of NPC Talk. My name is Inkernaut, and today is September 27th, 2021. Man, are we back? Is this really happening? Find out more on today's episode. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to NPC Talk. I am I'm with Daniel Buddha. Hello.
What's up?
And I'm with Roger. What is your tag, Roger?
Oh, just call me Roger for now.
Okay.
I'm going through an existential crisis.
All right. And Roger, what is up, everyone?
Not much.
All right.
Just life.
Not much.
I have one very important question to ask. Is NPC Talk back? Are we revived or is this a dead podcast?
Resurrection.
Yeah, we're back.
See me, but I'm raising my hand right now.
Oh man. Dude, I can't believe you guys convinced me to come back. This is weird.
Wait, I have a question for you though.
Okay. Shoot.
Where's the intro music?
So I'm glad you asked. What's going to happen is that the meta for podcasts and videos now is that they do the intro separately from the actual recording. And so I'm following the meta. So we just skip that part completely. And then when the listeners will hear, they'll hear the intro. And then we'll hear this part of the conversation. So they'll be wondering what we're talking about.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you have upgraded.
Yeah, I'm following the meta now, so we're cool. We're a hip podcast.
Oh, nice. Podcasts?
Okay. So the first question the first question I have for today is what have you all been playing / doing? And let's start with Daniel.
All right. I have been playing way too many mobile games.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But in terms of actual games, I guess I have been on the Deathloop grind.
And I know nothing about it except that you have been hype about it.
Oh, yes. I have been very hype. You could say, since I am also the resident Dishonored hype man, it's like Dishonored / Groundhog Day,
the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, time travel.
Yes.
Oh,
it's like a single day that keeps looping over and over, and your main character is trying to end it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then it's very similar to Dishonored in that there's different areas and then you have to go kill people.
Okay. Oh. And like you're playing the same day over and over and just killing the same people over and over.
Yeah, so it's split up into morning, afternoon, evening, and night, and then you basically keep looping through, trying to gather evidence and try to figure out how to do it so that you can end the loop.
Okay, okay. Roger, what was that game Tim Cathers played recently?
12 minutes.
12 minutes.
It's
a loopy game, but I think that one, it's more puzzly. And heavy on the story narrative, I think.
Yeah, so I watched Tim Cathers play through the whole thing. And it was good. For being a story-based game, it fell kind of short. And then there's a lot of like you start over on the day, like over and over again. And then to get to certain points you have to re-go through the same dialogue over and over, so it gets really repetitive. And I don't know, does Deathloop have that problem?
You know, so far I feel like it's pretty unique in the sense that because it's like time loops, I get the sense that there's like alternate universes, so each person in each loop sometimes acts a little bit differently, so it's pretty interesting.
Okay, okay. That is kind of cool.
The stuff carry over like through each loop? Like, do you retain any items, or is it just like you start fresh every time? Kind of like a book, like, in a sense.
Yeah, further on, you do unlock the ability to carry things over, but at the beginning, you literally just die and wake up with nothing. Or you go to the next morning with nothing.
Oh. kind of sounds like the dialogue system in Deathloop. It could have like the potential to be very crazy. Or is it crazy? Like, if you trigger certain flags, like in the previous loops, then it'll just, like, for this loop, when you talk to this NPC again, it'll trigger something really crazy because you have the knowledge from other loops or something. I don't know.
Kind of. It does give me a little bit of a Bioshock vibes, like the OG Bioshock with the crazy people.
Well, yeah, I still need to beat that game.
What? Wait, hold up. You haven't beaten Bioshock?
No, I got, like, I think my save data got deleted. And then I just gave up and looked at Wikipedia because I was too sad of my save data being gone.
Man, I've been there. That sucks.
Yeah, that was my Final Fantasy VII.
Wait, have you beaten Final Fantasy VII?
I've not beaten Final Fantasy
VII. Oh, man, wait. Let me think of what my game is that I've never beaten due to a sad file deletion.
I'm still waiting for the remake to come to PC so I can actually play it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in PC?
Weird.
I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was already was.
I feel like it should, because I noticed that most of Square Enix stuff is heading towards to PC, too.
Yeah. Like, Kingdom Hearts 3 is on PC, right?
It is? I actually don't know.
Is it? Oh, it's coming out on March 30th.
Oh, next year? For FF7 remake?
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Oh.
I think, am I going crazy? I feel like, okay, no, the release date for Kingdom Hearts 3 is March 30th. Wait, 2021, it already came out.
Wait, oh.
Okay, so Kingdom Hearts 3 is already on PC. On the Epic Game Store.
Oh, I did not know that, actually.
And then all I'm getting is Epic Game Store leak hints at Final Fantasy VII Remake PC release. So nothing official yet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I hope it's not on Epic Games.
I think it is. It seems like they have a deal.
Dang it.
What's wrong with Epic?
Theme for life. Or should I not say that so you can still get your sponsorship deals in the future?
Oh, please sponsor us, Epic.
Oh. I love content.
And all the other common sponsors.
Oh, I love Steam.
Yeah. Origin Gaming. Do Apex Legends please sponsor us?
Let's go Azure Lane.
Speaking of Steam, are either of you interested in the Steam Deck?
Not particularly. What advantages does it have over the Switch? Is it just like you just play whatever on your PC library onto it? That's it?
Yep. Mostly? Yeah, basically.
I think I would be, but at the price point, probably not.
How much does it cost again?
$400 on the cheapest model.
I probably like wouldn't get it unless it was for like $100 or something. I don't know.
How much is a Switch? 200? 300?
Yeah. I think maybe the Switch Lite is 200 or 250.
Well, I like it. The Steam Deck, it seems pretty cool, but it's go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say I much prefer the Incro Switch over the Steam Deck.
The Incro Switch is very limited in certain ways to the Steam Deck. But in other ways, it's better. Because the Steam Deck, you have to play the game on the deck itself. So the deck has to be powerful enough to run whatever game you want. Which is probably the weakness of Steam, is that like games vary so much from like, you know, really simple indie games all the way to like AAA titles. So they're trying to like cater to as much as they can. Whereas like for the Switch, they have to cater to the Switch. Like they have to make the game with the Switch parameters versus the other way around. And so like, that's a pretty big advantage.
That's interesting that they don't use their game streaming technology since they have that. Like, that they don't just stream from your PC or something to the Stream Deck.
I wonder, like, it wasn't advertised, but I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't, if that would be an option.
Yeah. I tried it out once. It was, like, actually okay.
Yeah, no, that's how I run the Incro Switch, is through the, wait, through like Steam Remote Play?
Yeah.
So when I use the Steam Link, it's pretty good. Steam Remote Play, I've had like 50-50 results, and then I use Moonlight, which is like a streaming thing for NVIDIA cards, and that one's pretty good.
I don't really know too much of that fancy Moonlight stuff. But I did try like the Steam Remote Play once, I think. It was with a co-op. And my experience with it was that it was kind of weird or bad for me because there was a lot of input delay.
Yeah.
I think that's just like the networking co-op in general.
Yeah, that was a big problem. And then I had a problem too, because my monitor is 1440p, and so when I try to stream it to other computers that are only 1080p, it like comes out really blurry on their end.
Dang. First world problem.
My monitor's too good, so...
Oh, sorry, I was saying my monitor sucks.
Roger, do you run two monitors?
No, single monitor. I'm a poor person.
No, that's definitely not.
Yeah, what is wrong with you, Roger?
Oh, I'm a poor person in appearance. Leave it at that.
You should just get two monitors. So even for work, you only use one monitor?
Yeah, I just use my work laptop.
Dude, what is wrong with you?
I don't know. I got used to it.
Interesting. Shoot. Yeah, Daniel's our resident poor person. Hello, Daniel.
Ironically, I have probably the best monitors here.
What is wrong with you on the opposite side of the spectrum?
No comment.
Okay, Roger, what have you been playing?
So lately I have been playing Bravely Default 2. Thanks to Daniel buying it off of GMG.
Thanks, Daniel.
For discount. Thanks, Daniel.
Hashtag advertisement, please sponsor us.
Yes. Sponsor us, GMG. And so yeah, I like got like 22 hours into it. I'm on chapter 3. Before that, I also started a little bit with Rune Factory 4 on the Switch.
Oh, shoot.
But I'm only like 30 minutes in, so I'm still a scrub. in that game. But yeah, I guess like those are the two major single player games that I have been playing.
Have you liked Bravely Default 2?
It feels like it could be better. I kind of feel they played it way too safe. Like the story is not really anything special. It's the same old cliche of, oh, there are four heroes of light, and we gotta save the crystals. And like
what does that sound like? Every Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and I feel Bravely Default 2 is for the Switch, right? And Bravely Default 1 was for the 3DS. So like considering some weird stuff like the dioramas, for instance, like having that in for the first game kind of made sense due to the 3DS limitation. But I think like with the like the advanced stuff with the Switch, they could probably do a little bit more. Like if we get a Ray, like they're not restricted anymore by the hardware, right? So I would have liked to see for Bravely Default 2 that, you know, they strive to kind of improve the experience instead of just sticking with the traditional ways of the first game, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
is that for some of the cutscenes?
Yeah, like for the cutscenes, like they would just do the old diorama, like just have the character models appear in the forefront and just have like a static like background image in the background. And they would just play out some cutscenes like that. Same as the first Bravely Default game. So I kind of would have liked to see a bit more like effort or maybe stray away from that into a more dynamic cutscene.
Yeah, when I think of the first Bravely Default, I think of one, the battle system, and then two, the graphics being like very like not childish, but like they're kind of like cute little doll figures with like kind of like polygon shapes.
Mm-hmm. So cute.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because like they stick with that too for Bravely Default 2. But it kind of has the negative effect of being an uncanny valley, you know? Like, they're cute, but they're like too realistic in a way that it makes it kind of disturbing.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, is this specific for Bravely Default 2? Like...
Yeah, I would say it's just specific for Bravely Default 2. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old and I'm just rambling. I don't know.
Okay. I see what you're saying. The models have improved since the first one.
Yeah. All right. Enough of me. I'm just rambling.
How is the battle system in 2? Like, has it changed from 1?
No, it's like pretty much the same. Like, I actually don't really like the battle system in general for Bravely Default, like the whole braving and defaulting. Like, it doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't really feel like it adds anything new other than, oh, I could go through random battles much quicker by just going all in. Or for, like, boss battles, oh, I'll just default, and just, like, you know, orgasm them at the end with all of my brave turns.
Nice.
But, like, the jobs, they're pretty much the same. I feel like they could have, like, experimented or go crazy a little bit more instead of playing it safe. The balancing, I think it's kind of a mess. I could get more into it when we talk more about of our questions, topics.
Okay.
Segue!
I did want to say for the... I'll ask during the next section, but for... I've been playing Octopath Traveler.
Oh, man.
And like the... I think it's also by Square Enix, right?
Yes.
And so the storytelling is like It's very Square Enix-y still, but yes. I guess it's a little more unique in the way they in the way it progresses. The way it's told is the same, but the way it progresses is unique. Because you like, I feel there's a very heavy focus on the background story of each character, and then like as you recruit them, you get like a little bit more revealed. As far as I know, I've only played for, I don't know. I've only played for a few hours, but so far I don't think there's an overarching story, but there might be later. Daniel, have you played it?
I never finished it. It was kind of slow for me, and I kept falling asleep during the battles since it's turn-based.
Did you get far enough to know if there's an overarching story or not?
I'm not sure. I can't remember now. It was a while ago.
Okay. We're just going to say no and go with it. But the battle system is kind of like Bravely Default, if I remember it correctly. It's like you just have your like typical, you know, attack, spell, defend item. But then there's like a system where you can like make your attacks stronger, or like you can attack twice, kind of like Bravely Default, to be honest. And then when you use that thing, it like doesn't grow for a turn, and then you can do it up, I don't know, you can do it up to 4 times. So basically like you can, it feels very Bravely Defaulty, and like as I'm playing through it, I'm like, oh, it's very simple for a game on the Switch. So I don't know, when you're describing Bravely Default 2, I feel like the problems with it are the same problems that I'm feeling with Octopath Traveler.
I see. Yeah, I never touched Octopath Traveler before, but I do, from like an outsider, I think the graphics and art style looks nice.
It does. It is really, really pretty. Mm-hmm. And the other game I've been playing, I just beat, is Dark Souls.
Oh, Dark Souls.
Whoa, Pog!
Pog. That game...
You're finally free?
Yeah, seriously.
No, there's still Dark Souls 2.
No!
And Dark Souls 3. You gotta go through those. And Bloodborne. And then eventually Sekiro and Demon Souls. And then you gotta go to the indie Souls games. Like Hollow Knight.
Oh, I am playing Hollow Knight.
Oh, good.
For Bloodborne, is that ever going on PC? I hope it does.
No, I feel like it's just a PlayStation exclusive, since Sony Entertainment also worked on it.
I need a PlayStation stat.
Oh yeah, same.
So yes. If anyone is curious about our thoughts on Dark Souls, we will have an article out on Inkernaut.com soon. Wait, Roger, what did you say?
Oh, I finished most of my answers so far.
Oh, I'm behind, so I probably need to work on that. And then I need to push Nataku, probably.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just need to proofread it just to make sure I make sense. Okay, but yeah.
All right, so moving on from gaming to real life. Roger, have you been doing any real life activities?
I've been doing judo, which is like a fighting game, except for grappling.
Does it feel like a fighting game?
In a way. Not really.
Is every move a grab?
it's like a fighting game if every single move is a command grab. You have different ways of throwing people. But yeah, it's like it's fun. I like it so far. It's just tough physically because I'm all stick and bones. But I did get my chance at some live sparring last week,
Oh,
which was
shoot.
cool. I was up against a black belt, but the black belt was sandbagging me, which was all right, I guess. But I would have preferred it if he slaughtered me. Not
Yeah.
that I'm a masochist or anything, but just to get some real fighting game experience in.
Yeah, sandbagging doesn't like really help unless you're specifically trying to train your quote unquote tech skill.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, it was pretty fun. I recommend it.
You recommend it.
You want
You
to grow people.
got into judo because of the Olympics, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That and like I did some a lot of research into it, and it's like pretty good for self-defense too. And throwing people just looks fun in general.
When you went sparring was when you when sorry when you went sparring, like I assume you maybe only knew like two or three different types of grapples by then.
Yeah, I think I knew what. So there are. I knew two throws. One of them is Kosotogari, which is like a outer leg sweep, and the other is the Tai Otoshi, which is a body drop throw. So when I was sparring, I just stabbed Kosotogari over and over at my black belt partner. Was like, "Come on, dude! Like, stop doing this thing over and over." And I'm like, "All right, fine. I'll try a Tai Otoshi or whatever."
I agree with you. It's like there's no point in sandbagging at that point because like you're not learning anything from
Yeah.
like just attempting the same grab because you don't know anything else. So like what do they want from you?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Is this the real life equivalent of spamming one button in fighting games?
Pretty much just doing like fireball over and over again.
I feel called out.
Me too.
You also get to choke people in judo, which is nice. I got choked.
What?
What? Oh, I mean, oh,
I didn't know you were
I,
into
oh, I might be a masochist or sadist.
that.
Both.
So for judo, are there like a lot of really dangerous throws where if you like attempted them, you can like break someone's neck or back?
Yeah, there are throws out there. Specifically, there's a category of throws called the sacrifice throws. And that's where you use like your whole body as a momentum to like fall down to the floor. Well, and you see that force to maneuver your opponent over you. So there's like one specific sacrifice throw called a tomoe nage. It's basically like when you are grabbing onto your opponent, you just drop down to the floor on her back and throw the opponent over you, over your shoulders. It's kind of like a back throw. Those types of throws are pretty dangerous if you don't know how to pull them off technique wise. And I think they're usually not recommended to teach to beginners because of the high risk of injury. But I think like with judo being a physical contact sport, there's always a risk of injuries no matter what. And so like it's just everybody tries to be mindful of their partners and making sure that they land safely. And of course, as beginners, like the first thing that we're taught is breaking our falls. So we're already trained to make sure that we fall correctly. And yeah, try to minimize the risk of injury.
Are there like, I'm trying to think, are there like illegal throws because they're too dangerous, like the Harry Potter illegal spells?
I didn't research that far, but I'm sure there might be one or two. I know specifically for sports judo, leg locks or leg throws, or wait, yeah, I think it's like leg throws. Are banned for whatever reason, but I'm not too sure on the reasoning of the ban yet. It could be because like they're too OP or if it's too dangerous.
Yeah, probably both, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe.
As for the people listening, as Roger has been doing and researching judo, we got into the conversation and it somehow segued into me looking up a Korean sword technique to see if there's anything out there similar to Japan's kendo or iaido, and we came across this sword art called Haidong Gumdo. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And it's basically iaido, so like a katana type sword. And it, from what I've seen, it was very like low contact. Like kendo is very much like is more like fencing, like you're fighting one-on-one, versus like iaido is more like the technique of the sword itself. And I think Haidong Gumdo is closer to iaido in that sense. But besides researching the nearest Haidong Gumdo dojo near me, I haven't done anything because I am fat and lazy.
Sounds really,
I feel called out.
Do you feel called out, Daniel? Because what have you been doing?
Well, I was supposed to go rock climbing this morning, but then I didn't go, so I feel called out.
There isn't any... Oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been rock climbing primarily as my way of exercise, but I hear that's not very good at actually losing fat, because there's a lot of rather chunky people that go rock climbing. So, myself included, obviously. So I need to start doing some other like cardio or something like that.
Oh,
but I also bought a bow, an arrow.
Type.
Which I haven't touched in a while. Because I'm fat and lazy.
This seems like an endless cycle.
It is.
Yeah.
And also our long distance party member in our party of three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And Kronos the crowd control with the sword. AOE attacks.
Yeah. Nice.
The DPS?
Yeah.
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 Roger holds on to them and then we just
destroy them.
Shoot a full of arrows.
We've been talking about becoming nighttime vigilante heroes. So once we all become proficient at our craft, we will scour the streets and the dangerous alleys at nighttime and get into bar fights with drunk people and have the advantage of weaponry and knowledge over them and save the damsels in distress.
Just for Roger and me.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't need a damsel.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hype. That's for sure.
It is gonna be hype. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, which is, do you guys think it's bad game design? Wait, yes. Am I still here?
Yeah, okay.
I'm so sorry. My monitor's turned off. I guess I haven't touched my computer in like 30 minutes. And so my monitor's turned off, so I thought my computer just shut down. Okay, let me start over.
Professional podcast here. Sponsor us.
Do you guys think it's bad game design if you're able to exploit something very early on in a game that gives you an advantage throughout the whole game? Does anyone want to go first?
I can start rambling if you don't mind.
I do not mind. Please go ahead.
All right, it's time for me to Rambo. So in Bravely Default 2, there's an exploit where, like, so the way that the So it briefly default to like you have two types of leveling. One is for the characters levels, like you could see their HP, like physical attack and stuff. And the other is for their job levels. Like once you level up in a job level, you get a additional skill, active or passive skill.
Pog.
And in Bravely Default 2, there's this mechanic where if you enter consecutive battles, so having one battle show up after another in a row, you get a multiplier in the amount of JP or job points that you accumulate.
Pog.
And essentially in the very starting area, you can kind of like rally up the enemies that show up in the world map to bunch up in a corner and just like attack these low level enemies and one hit KO them over and over and get like up to times 3 JP multiplier. And what that happens is you can easily level up a job from level 1 to max level in around 30 minutes, I would say. And
What?
so I've been pretty much doing that. Eventually, like later on, like there is actually a better boss to grind at, which is also in the starting area.
Oh my gosh.
That gives like a more consistent JP. And it's also like roughly like 20, 30 minutes to do so. But yeah, so essentially, like every time I got a new job, I would always teleport or fast travel back to the starting area and max out that job after 30 minutes.
What's the max job level?
So this might be spoilers, 'cause I spoiled myself. So for anyone who is interested in Bravely Default 2, please stop listening right
Yeah, stop
now.
listening. Mute for 10 seconds. Go.
Okay, so at the start, the max job level is level 12,
Pog.
but I researched later that it gets upgraded to level 15 as the max job level. Okay, so for those who stopped listening, you can listen in now.
Thank you for tuning back in. It is now a spoiler-free-ish zone.
But yeah, so I guess like with all of these like skills that I have access to, it kind of makes some boss fights kind of like a walk in the park. And I wonder if that kind of takes away from the natural progression that the developers wanted the players to go through in a way.
I would
Because
guess
it's
yes.
I mean, yeah, because it's kind of like once I max out a job, then I pretty much just spam the strongest level, or not the strongest level, the strongest skill that's usually that you get at the very end of that job skill tree or level tree, whatever. And I neglect like the early skills that you would normally get in a job, right? So it's kind of like because, I go through this exploit, I just spam the strongest attacks and I neglect some game mechanics, which might make the balancing feel like off and weird.
I do know. So Roger posed this question to the group, and as I thought about it, so my initial answer was that it is not bad game design, but after hearing Roger's answer, I feel like it's not bad game design if one, it's intentional, and then two, if the game itself is more open-ended, so like Metroidvanias or quote unquote open world games, I feel like they lend itself a lot better to exploits like that. But in a linear game like Bravely Default 2, that sounds awful.
Yeah, I wonder if like the type of game makes a difference too. Like you mentioned Metroidvanias, which is more of a 2D platformer kinda. I guess it could be applied to 3D as well, but usually they don't have like as much numbers that a JRPG would work with. So there's like, I guess like another thing too is, like what kind of like makes Bravely Default and other Final Fantasy games separate from other JRPGs? Like say, what's a good one? Like Atrian Odyssey. Is that a lot of the stats boosting in Atrian Odyssey is, it comes from the weapons and equipments themselves, right? And the equipments, like to get the equipments and weapons, you usually need to craft them with monster materials. So in a way, like Atrian Odyssey kind of like keeps an eye out for the player progression, like big, like it has like a sort of like a gate, like a buffer to like a buffer check to make sure that the player doesn't get overpowered through its monsters, right? Because the monsters are the one that kind of dictates the best equipment that you could currently have, and the equipment dictates most of your stats for your characters. Whereas in like Square Enix games, like Bravely Default, Final Fantasy, a lot of your stats come from just your character levels, not from the equipments as much, I would say. Like there's like a ratio, right? Like I would say maybe for Final Fantasy it might be like a 7-3 ratio, where 7 is like character level and a 3 is from the equipment. But for like Atrian Odyssey, it might be like a 2-8 ratio, where 2 is from the character stats and 8 is from like the equipments. So there's like so I thought that was kind of interesting when I was thinking about it and how like RPGs kind of like put a gatekeeper, or how the RPGs gatekeep player progression. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. I'm wrong.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to be said about both game types. I feel like for like Final Fantasy, I feel like the way you can exploit it is like both good and a bad thing, because maybe they're just trying to cater to a more casual audience.
Yeah.
And then
darn casuals.
I do think things that can be exploited like that make for a fun speedrunning experience.
Yeah, that's true for sure.
I don't know how fast it is, but
true. Yeah, I guess for me, when I think of like a speed, when I think of speedrunning, it's like, how much can you mess up the intended design of the game?
Yeah, I feel like that brings up the other question, though. It's like, should developers do kind of like what Atrian Odyssey did, where you're kind of limited by what's available, and then there's like a soft cap to things? Or like, should game developers be aware of people like Roger that will grind it out in the starting zone and get the next level? Like, should there be something in place that keeps you from that? Like, maybe making the max job level like lower at the start and slowly increase over time? Or should it be like just free for all? You do what you want as the player. It's like your world.
Can I just say, as a web developer who, so I'm the only person in my department, so I'm the only web developer, and so it's my job basically to do a lot of, like, I don't know, like, exploit control on my website to make sure, like, things don't go wrong. And I just want to say, Roger, knowing Roger for as long as I have now, you have made me better at my job, because I just think about all the shenanigans that you try to pull in different scenarios, and I'm like, man, Roger would get around this. So then like I actually have to like make it more foolproof.
Oh, nice. I feel flattered.
Yeah, you make me better at life.
Thanks. I mean, you're welcome.
Complete what is it, tangent. This did remind me also of this one anime. This is weeb moment now.
All right, the weeb corner.
It's called The Hero is Overpowered but Overly Cautious.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it. Basically, this guy that doesn't want to go into the actual, like, you know, isekai, where it's like you get transported to another world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he doesn't want to take his first step into that other world until he's like super overpowered. So he's just like doing push-ups in the lobby, like just getting ready to go.
What's this, wrong with this anime?
It's pretty funny.
That's like real life.
Check it out.
Whoa, she's lewd.
Roger, you haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen that much, but it's pretty funny.
All right. I'll think about checking it out, but it sounds lame.
Maybe you're just too cautious of it.
if it's the cautious watcher, the watcher is overweight, really cautious, then maybe.
I will say, for me, off the top of my head, when I first saw the question, I was like, is it bad game design? I would have to say a reluctant yes, because I think it's like the game, unless it's like meant to be a story sort of experience, like the game should be challenging enough at each point in time where you do have to put in some sort of effort. But at the same time, it's like, I like to feel overpowered.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like to be able to just like steamroll whatever.
Yeah, it certainly is a dilemma, I would say. Like, I guess like just, you could think of it as like Monster Hunter, right? Like, let's say in the early level, like what if you get like a very OP great sword, right? And it's so OP that you could just one hit KO the beginning monsters, but you don't really learn their move patterns or like move sets. And then later on in the game, like you see them again, but as a tempered version, right? And then you get screwed over because you neglected in learning that part of the game because you were too overpowered and you exploited it.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like the balance between rewarding players for the effort they put in to get overpowered versus like just not letting them get overpowered at all. And like, you can't put in the effort to do that.
Hey guys, wait. My obs like froze.
Oh shit.
You're recording.
Wait, oh no. What? Why did it freeze?
Professional podcast.
I'm so scared of ending task because I don't know what's going to happen. Okay.
Ish.
Okay,
I'm recording again.
Okay.
And go.
Welcome back to MVC Talk.
Oh, if I edited it, then no one would have to know.
This is, I hope you enjoyed the commercials that Incronaut is going to put in there.
Oh, yeah. Please,
the sponsors.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by
Squarespace.
Don't say something. It's not. Now you just gave them free advertising. And hey, if you're interested in getting, then please check out at .com.
Nice. You're ready. All right. Where were we?
I forgot.
Oh. I mean, on the topic of games that I was playing, like Deathloop, for instance, since I really am a fan of the game mechanics and the studio and everything for making Dishonored, I did buy the pre-order, and then one of the things they give you is like a gun. But the thing is, in the game, the guns that they give you, none of them are silenced. So it's like, you have to make the choice between using a nail gun, which takes time for you to charge it up to make the silent kills, or you can just use a real gun, shoot, and then everybody knows where you're at. But then if you pre-order, you get the gun that's silenced, and it's literally like, I feel like I'm just speedrunning now because I'm just headshotting everything and just running through the game, and it's like so easy. So I don't know. I am reluctant because I do feel overpowered now, but it does feel like some of the game's challenge, I guess, has been lost.
Do you feel like that's a kind of a pay to win type of scenario? Also?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely pay to win.
Yeah. There's like a point where you want to be strong enough to like be able to progress without having like unnecessary frustrations, but you don't want to be so strong where you miss out on the fun mechanics of the game, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, kind of like up until I got it, because they didn't give it to me until a little bit further into the game. I had to make choices, like, do I want to just start a gunfight with this group of bad guys, or do I want to try to sneak around and try to assassinate certain people on the outside, etc. And it's like, I had choices, but now I have a silenced gun, so I'm just like, I'm just gonna go somewhere safe and just pick them all off. And they don't know anything's happening.
Daniel, what was your other question that kind of came out from this question?
Rewarding player effort? Which question?
I don't remember. Something about game design. You know, I'm just going to listen to the audio recording, and that will be our question for next time.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm down.
All right. I think we're running out of time, so I guess we'll call it here.
All right.
I don't
this
know.
Is sponsored by.
Wow! Wilson. I love.
Oh. Hi.
I thought we were doing our closing sponsor ad.
Oh. This
you
is
should definitely buy
GoStar.
What? What? What?
Wait, Azure Lane.
Azure Lane. Oh.
Oh no.
Alice Soft.
Roger, have you tried Girls Gun Cafe yet?
No, I have not. I kind of don't want to like go or. Go too deep into gacha games, I guess.
They're
I'm
evil.
Fine with the Zero Lane for now and Mahjong Soul.
I agree.
I agree too, but here I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Roger, Daniel, thank you so much for reviving this stupid podcast.
Woohoo!
Good. I think it's smart.
Oh, great. Okay. If anyone has any questions or wants to send comments or suggest topic questions for the following weeks, email me at inchronaut.com. I do have a... not inchronaut.com. inchronaut@gmail.com. I do have a NPC talk email. I don't remember what it is, though. Yeah, I don't remember what it is. I'll figure it out next time. It's like NPC Talk or NPC Talk Podcast at Gmail. But yeah, check us out over there. And if any of you freaking of my friends that ask me, is NPC Talk coming back? And I would totally listen to it. It's on all the podcast channels and my website. And so I'm calling you out right now. If you actually listened to this episode all the way through and you're at this point, email me that you've listened to it and I'll keep going. Otherwise, screw you. I'm on to you. All right.
I don't really listen to it.
Do we have to listen to it?
No, you're on it. You guys are privileged guests. Actually, Roger's my co-host.
I'll email you anyways.
Huh?
I'll email you anyways.
Don't email. You guys don't email me. If I get an email from you guys, we have a whole different problem, all right?
Can I email a love letter?
Sure.
Nice.
I'm scared.
Do the sponsors contact you at the same email?
Yes. And if you're a sponsor interested, email me at inchronaut@gmail.com or whatever my NPC talk email is. And on that note, thank you guys for joining me, and everyone have a great day.
Tune in next time.
Tune in next time. Bye.
Bye. I'm gonna go back to Rome.